Blog Talk Radio.
Shelly Nunchuck Show. I'm back and in rare form, relaunching today. Now, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. I don't know if it's due to weather and stuff, but I am going to test this to see how this works, to see if I can hear myself. So I'm trying to bring this up, and let's see. And let's see what's going on. I'm just making sure if I'm muted. Let's see. Am I having a little bit of difficulties here? Let's see. I'm going to have to try to call my own number. All right. And I'm trying to get this to go again. Okay, let's see what's going on. I'm going to have to try to hang tight. I'm having a little bit of difficulties here. Okay, let's see what's going on. Not too sure. I think Blog Talk Radio is having some technical standby here. Okay, let's see what's going on. Try to get back into the studio and call in. Okay, I'm not hearing myself. So what I'm going to do is relaunch this whole show. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to test this to make sure everything's fine on my end here. And that's what I'm actually doing. I'm actually trying to test this to make sure. Okay, what I'm doing is playing an older show. And I'm going to get into the studio. And play a song, and I'll be right back. Good day, Sunday morning, Happy New Year. This is take two. Oh my gosh, relaunched my show and I have technical difficulties. And I'm like, oh no, I just like literally fell off the bed. I'm going, oh my dear God, no. I'm like, ah. So I'm going to get right to it. I hope I'm coming in loud and clear. So I'm actually going to be bringing someone on in just about a minute. I'm so super, super pumped. Let me do my promos. I'll try to bring it in really fast here. Someone sent me a message about lawyers needed for Standing Rock. So I guess the people, the water protectors that had gotten arrested, they actually do need lawyers. So someone actually sent me the message. Lawyers for Standing Rock protectors have been arrested in North Dakota for their activist opposition to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline through ancestral Sioux lands are pleading for more help because they aren't enough attorneys to take their cases in trial that begins next week. So they do need lawyers to help out with our water protectors. So I'm giving a shout out to them that are doing this not just for themselves, but they're doing it for us. And this is something without, you know, water, there is no life. And I've got a few other promos, and then I'll be bringing my first guest on. I'm so super pumped. I'm like, I know, breathe, Shelly. This one here is called the Sarah Joy Foundation. This is for my extended family back in Boston and Philly and such. The Sarah Joy Foundation is our way of honoring Sarah Joy, who passed away from cancer at 32 years of age, leaving behind two small boys and a husband, Eric. Through this foundation, our vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy their life as much as they can. Sarah, in her last year, did more travel and activities than most people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast. The list goes on and on. She did all this while being told she was too sick to even get out of bed. Too many families make their lives a hustle bed and four walls because of this illness, and that for Sarah was never an option. Through raising money, we'd like to offer other families the same joy that Sarah we had before she passed. It's amazing what a day in the spa could do or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer does not mean death, and people shouldn't mourn someone while they are alive. Enjoy life. Love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves in the fall, the flowers in spring. We'll be organizing fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. To go on to my other promos, I've got two left here. The Standish, there's a bakery, Daily Bread Bakery. Get your num-nums on in 2007. Low-sodium bakery and tea shop at 113 Ossipee, Ossipee Trail West, Standish, Maine. And it's actually www.ofdailybread.com. Oh, let me tell you, the cinnamon buns and everything, so yum-yum. They make fresh every single day. Low sodium, not too much gluten in the air. It's just so much good yum. So check out Daily Bread Bakery in Standish, Maine. Now, with another one that I am coming on board once again is the Bruce Lee Foundation. I will be setting up my new fundraiser today. I'm coming on board, and this is actually for a future generation. So I will be posting that, and I'm part of the foundation to help raise money once again for future generations. So, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you about my two guests before I bring the first guest on. Now, you know, it's like my dream of, like, wanting to work with Jackie Chan and stuff like that. Well, my journey has been incredible, incredible. Last summer, I actually went out to Dragon Fest in California. And now, everyone's going to know, second guest that's coming on, Douglas Swan, I had him on my show and such, and he has great stories and not enough time to tell. He'll be making a call-in there. And also, to let you know, this is just an honor. I'm just so excited. I'm trying to tie myself down to the bed here. This is how excited I am with my guests on the show today. I'm having first guest, Clark Ting, and this is beyond film. Beyond film. I wanted to see truth myself because everybody says, yeah, I know this and that. This is truth beyond film. It's teachings passed down from Yip Man, who was a teacher of Bruce Lee, to the Wing Chun. It's taught out in the Wing Chun Temple out in California. I didn't have enough time, but I hope next year in Dragon Fest I am able to visit this next year. So let me just check the queue here and give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello,
good
caller.
Morning.
You're on the air. Hi,
good
is this
morning.
Clark?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh,
happy
good,
New
good,
Year.
Good. Happy New Year. Yes.
Thank God you've made another year. I mean, I am so glad.
Oh, me too. But gotta admit something, 2016 was a great year. You know, I just have to say
yes.
That because I got to meet you and I got to meet so many wonderful people. I'm just like, I'm so excited. I'm trying to like, okay, Shelly, bring the energy down so I don't pass out during the show because I'm so excited. It's such an honor to have you on my show today, Clark.
Oh, definitely. My pleasure as well.
And on top of that, it's so early, so thank you so much. I figure get the show on earlier because then people can go out and enjoy the rest of their Sunday. So it's like the earlier, I think it's the better. So I just want to get straight to it. So are you ready for the Shelly Munchuk Show?
Definitely. Let's do it.
All right. Now, I just wanted to, you know, before we get into the history of martial arts, I want people to know about you, Clark King. I want people to know, like, how did you get involved in martial arts and how did you choose your martial arts?
Right. Well, first, martial art came to me by, you can say, by an accident. When I was a kid, I believe was 5 or 6 years old, I accidentally find myself inside into the Chinese theater while waiting for my mom and my aunt's restaurant. And from there, I saw Master T Long and Master David Chung. They're fighting. I didn't know what they were doing, but my God, I was so, I could feel it. Imagine 5 or 6 years old seeing this. I mean, it was a violent, but I think it's more than violent. It just, to me, it's more exciting, and also more inspiring. From there on, it just, martial arts, it just, the life was began back then. I saw about around 6 years old, yes. When I was starting, I didn't know what I was doing. Normally with relatives, with my uncle, my cousin, we're doing all sort of martial art. I didn't know what it was. I thought probably taekwondo or one of those Southeast Asia martial art we did. But yeah, but that from there on, it just like, yeah, everything is martial art. I mean, a lot of people, they play other sport, but I do play other sport also. I do now, you know, but it's just like when I play other sport, I do not put my heart and soul there. I just make my body move and have fun with it. But when I do martial art, it just, my being is at its present there. So it's totally different. So, yes.
Okay. And so when you were growing up, now a lot of us, we've had influence,
right,
and such. It's like, did Bruce Lee, like, did Ip Man or Bruce Lee, did they actually influence you?
Yes, they did early. The first inspiration was Master T Long. Master T Long was my first inspired when I was a kid. Saw his movie, but later on, this is in Cincinnati, Ohio. When I was in high school, Withrow High School. Now, back then, it was around 80-something, way back. And in school, there is a lot of problem between Asian, Black, and White. They didn't have Mexican back then. Of course, this is Midwest. There were a lot of problems there because, especially the White, tease Asian, and they're all fighting, and the principal didn't know what to do. So guess what? They called someone in California, and they suggested, hey, why don't you show Bruce Lee movies every week and see what happened? And you know what? Every day, I think there's a certain period. Now, in Cincinnati, Ohio, we have 8th period. In California, it's only 7th period. I mean, there's one less class here. So one period, everybody get to watch Bruce Lee movies. They start, you know, showing. And boy, from there on, I mean, I watched Bruce Lee movie before, but I didn't know the impact. I mean, okay, his kung fu was good. I mean, it's fine. But and then after that, everyone start to respect Asian. They start come to talk. They love us more. And then it was something came into my mind. I said, my God, Master Bruce Lee has some sort of like charisma, some sort of like. So I was saying to myself, like, does really martial art can really do this to people? From there on, that was my Bruce Lee was my inspiration back then. And of course, later on, when I came moved to California, I was looking for, well, I started in American Kenpo, kickboxing American Kenpo, Lama Kenpo, and then Taekwondo, Tai Chi, you know, I took that. But I always wanted to learn Wing Chun because of, I was reading so many Bruce Lee's books, and it's always pointing back to Wing Chun, Wing Chun. So anyway, very hard to find a school back then in Southern California. But luckily, I found one in Fountain Valley, which is about 20 minutes, almost about half an hour from Long Beach. And my first Sifu, his name is Sifu Grandmaster Donald Fling. Matter of fact, his lineage is, it's not Yip Man, it's Chan Wasun. He's the only Chan Wasun in America. Chan Wasun is the teacher of Grandmaster Yip Man. So his teacher learning from Fiji, which is one of, so Chan Wasun and then a classmate of Grandmaster Yip Man, Wong Yim Yu, came to Fiji Island, and then there my Sigong, which is the teacher of my teacher, learned from him, and then we came on. So that was my first lineage as a Chan Wasun lineage. Yes, Grandma's Yim Yu teachers. And then after, later on, my second teacher is Sifu Jerry McKinley. Now, that's Yip Man. Anyway, from there on, it's all Yip Man lineage. And then, of course, my last Sifu, Grandmaster Wong Long, which is, of course, Bruce Lee's Kung Fu older brother. So those are my teachers, yes.
Oh, wow. but today, I mean, we
yes.
didn't know about like Yip Man and stuff like that, and it's Yip and not Ip, because in the films, I don't know why they do this, but it's Ip,
yeah.
And it's really Yip. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, you got to understand, it's the same thing, but in terms of Chinese, you know, you got different dialect Chinese. Now, Cantonese they go Yip Man, and other would be Ye Wen. So they call, but it's meaning the same way. So it depends on dialect, which dialect you try to say. That's all it is.
Oh, okay. Because I look at it, and they always say Ip, mm-hmm. Ip Man. I don't know if they do this so for English, because you know they change things when films are overseas, and then they come here, and they'll change titles,
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I'm saying Ip, and if I post about Ip Man, I put it in parentheses because it's Y-I-P, and I try very
right.
hard to announce people's names the best I can. I butcher people, not on purpose. It's my Bostonian accent, so I try so hard, and it's like, wait, no, there's a Y on that. It's not just like,
right.
just an IP, it's Y-I-P. And I'm like, no. But the thing is, I just, you know, I never knew how great teachings was passed down, because it's like I'm learning too, you know, like with Wing Chun, maybe you more are knowledgeable than me, where I heard it was from a nun. You know, it was taught by a
yes.
nun. Is that correct?
It is correct. First, her name was Abbess. Well, Abbess, it means, we call the highest monk, or the, with respect, we call abbot, right? For example, Abbot John, Abbot Joe, but for a female, we call Abbess. Is equivalent to Abbot. So Abbot Ngamui, she did came from Shaolin. This is after the destruction between the Qing Dynasty and the Ming Dynasty. Well, of course, the Ming Dynasty was losing, so the Qing Dynasty took it over, and they tried to kill all the monks. And
mm-hmm.
according to the story, there are five Shaolin elder came out of Shaolin, and one of them was Abbess Ngamui, is the nun. And of course, she was running and fleeing for her life. She always on a move. And during that oppression, during that survival, the conceive of Wing Chun came to life. Because of reason why? Whatever she learned in Shaolin, you're talking about Shaolin, it's just a martial art buffet. You can have almost like anything. I mean, it's everything. The form is, imagine how many form is there. But of course, elder, you got to understand that there's the high position of the monks and the nuns. Well, she's one of the nuns. And they did start because if I go back there a little bit, before the destruction of the Shaolin, some of the highest monk, they already found out already, they have a plan already that the Qing dynasty, the Qing army, I mean the Qing government, of course, want to over the Shaolin. Because they came in, they want to study the Shaolin as much as they can. And then guess what happened? They kill all of them, and who else did? They know only them. So that's how they try to be exclusive like that. So the Shaolin already knew that, so they started to sort of like, back then they didn't call Wing Chun or whatever, they just call it an hybrid art. For example, Now to learn and be able to use well in the real world, you have when you study Shaolin, it takes at least 10 to 12 years. So, and this new hybrid martial art was a requirement. Well, you cannot, it has to be a short time. It has to be direct. It has to be effective. So in other words, they're able to condense as much as possible and to be the most lethal. So this art here, as you know, Shaolin, when they was created, it was not created for combat art. They was created for like an exercise. You know, from another monk from India, from Damo. And then from there on, they just, it's sort of like created form after form after form. So it's just like a lot of stuff. But Shaolin can then want to one thing. It's about combative, about, you know, like take out your enemy as quickly as possible and do not use your energy. So be economical. Do not exert a lot of energy. So be efficient using less strength like that. So they were talking about that already, you know, that. So the beginning of Wing Chun would start there. But they sort of have an idea on there. But so I best Nga Mui, she among those elder. Now when she fled out, she took that knowledge plus her knowledge. And according to another legend that she saw the fox and the snake and another one is called a crane and a snake fighting, you know. So, but I think those are just the concept of a. So she tried to put it together. And she didn't even call Wing Chun back then. She just said, I just need an art to protect my life. So when my life is on the line, all I need is just something quick, you know, because most of Shaolin, they're more for exercise, for, you know, expressing, like, for example, like an animal, you know, expressing different way. Not necessarily lethal, you know. And more for a show with Shaolin form. And then later on, when she came, when the nun traveled to the south, it's called a White Crane Mountain around that area. She hired herself there. And she's often to go across the boat to where Yim Wing Chun, her dad, was owning a tofu shop there. So she went to buy a tofu because, of course, the nun doesn't eat meat, only vegetable and substitute for the meat is tofu. So went there, and then I can go over the story a little bit if you want me to.
Sure, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, back then, and then she, you know, she back and forth, and she met Yim Wen Chun when, according to the book I wrote. Now, I am so glad that you you brought Grandmaster Douglas Huang in also today. I just want to say that, you know, before I learned Wing Chun, believe it or not, and he may tell you this, I was a kid in high school. I loved Wing Chun. I couldn't find Wing Chun. I studied American Kenpo back then. And guess what? Grandma said Douglas Wong was my first Wing Chun book. I bought it back then.
That's so awesome.
So I read all these Wing Chun and tried to do, you know, before, they, you know, that's how much I wanted to learn Wing Chun, because it's not more about style system. It's just the story and just Bruce Lee, you know, like those stories. And believe it or not, I think it was 30 years later, it was a grand opening at Wing Chun Temple. I met Grandmaster Douglas Wong, and I publicly said, I asked him to sign my book, and it was so amazing. This is how the martial art worlds work. It just big world, and it can be very small world. And the person that you were reading, you were knowing all your life, when you met him, it just like, he is the most humble person that you would never expect it. And that's us. You know, Grandma said, Douglas Wong, you met him. He was a really, really humble person. You know, it just amazed me, you know. Anyway, I'm glad he's going to be into. And, you know, I do see him now, you know, once in a while we go to a museum and certain function and all that. So it's great. I only consider, you know, in life there, two family. One is you don't have a choice of your family, which is a genetic family, and the other one is a choice. And martial art is my true family by choice. And you know, when we meet each other, we go on with it, same wave. We feel each other, and it's just amazing, just like a cheese owl talking, you know, like that. But anyway, let me get back to the story there. So the nun, Abbess Nga Mui, met Yim Wen Chun, and according to the book I read, she was crying. She was sobering, and she was very sad to what's going to happen of her life, because she had a boyfriend, and a local gang wanted to marry her. And so he said the only thing she can get out is to beat her with kung fu. Now, you got to understand, back then, the old day, kung fu is just like, I want to compare like today, let's see, online game or whatever you want to say. So you got to relate to that. If you put like, oh, you kung fu beat, right now it's a different, you know, like different timeline. So, you know, it's, back then, yes, competition and all of that is very usual, you know. So, and the local gang, his kung fu is really good. So there's no way she's a girl and beat this guy up. So the nun met her and asked her, and she told a story. And then she said, okay, I want to help you. And, you know, come to the White Crane Mountain. This is the White Crane Mountain in the south, in the province of Fujian. So she come in, according to the book, they days and nights she come in and secretly learn this art. There's no name yet. They didn't call Wing Chun yet. They just learned the art, you know. So she learned, and the highest form back then. Now, when you later on, you see the long pole and the ball 5-9. This is later on. You know, back then the highest form is just Mok Yan Chang, which is the wooden dummy. That was it. And later on, of course, they incorporated the Lok Dim Bun Kwan and then Pa Cham Do. That's later on. So she learned the basic, of course, Siu Lam Tao and then Cham Chiu and Biu Chi. And then the last form is Mok Yan Chang. And, you know, in Wing Chun, let me tell you, once you learn the foundation is very hard. You learn it, and once you start learning it, everything else become, I would say, I don't want to say easy, it's more making sense. So, and then you learn a Cham Chiu. Cham Chiu is more like a moving. So the first form is Siu Lam Tao, is learning how to separate your arms from your body using the meditation. So in other words, you're meditating your form. You're not only doing your form. And that's the reason why the form is meant to be in place. It's not for moving. So now the first, if you said the most important of Wing Chun, what is the form of? It is Siu Lam Tao. Siu Lam Tao is the foundation, is the beginning, is very important. Throughout the system of Wing Chun, you will always come back to Siu Lam Tao. So Siu Lam Tao, you always practice. I even still practice today. I mean, it has to become a living. I mean, you know, when you do the form, it's you live that form. It's just you don't have to think. There's no mechanical. Just like you are walking every day, and you're walking, you're just naturally walking. Now, from there on, you build your, like a block. Now, the Cham Chiu is, you start moving, turning, and build you. You're using your finger, your long bridge form there. And, of course, Cham Chiu is called seeking the bridge, but that's between your opponent and you when you start engaging into the combat or whatever. And then Mok Yan Chang is a tool, which is only a tool. People can call whatever it is a tool for you to refine all of your move, all of what you learn. I always give example like this to most of my students. First, you have a toolbox. Put in your tools and learn your tool, and then now take it and go and fix the car. And the car is the wooden dummy. That's the analogy I use it. So, yeah. Anyway, so when she started learning that into the wooden dummy, and then she went back to the local gang, said, yeah, I don't want to marry you, and we can do a challenge and then see what happened. So, well, the challenge ended up to be that she won. And guess what? And the nun, now you have to understand the nun, she knew about this form. She didn't know is this kind of work, but she knows. She believes it's work, but she want to test it out. You know what? Yim Wing Chun was her guinea pig. I think she's just like, okay, here, take it, see what happened. And, of course, she was watching all along, and then it worked. But you got to understand, Yim Wing Chun, she's a beautiful woman. She's a very strong woman. Unlike other women, you got to understand. And she already knew Kung Fu already back then. But the Kung Fu is not good. But learning Wing Chun, defying her Kung Fu, it's just like Master Bruce Lee, believe it or not, before he came to Grandmaster Ip Man, he learned many forms, many classical forms like Hung Gar, Choli Phut. Well, his first form was Tai Chi, was taught by his father. And there he just started learning. But again, it was not redefined until he learned Wing Chun. So from there on, and then she won and she married with her with her boyfriend, and then from there on, she taught, Yim Wen Chun taught the art to her husband, and her husband passed on and on and on to Grandma Yip Man. You know, like, it's so funny, and it's just like, she's, Yim Wen Chun won the local, you know, bullies, and of course, the nun has to move on, escape, because the Qing army start looking for all the Shaolin. So before she left, and Yim Wen Chun, they asked her, hey, you know, what is this art that I'm learning? You know, it's good. And the nun say, geez, I don't even know. But since you're my first student, why don't we use a name after you? Wen Chun. That's how the name Wen Chun came.
Oh!
Isn't that,
that is so awesome. See, it's funny because with film stuff, then you realize this is the history. This is the reason why I do have you on there. I mean, myself, I'm going on a journey, but it seems like bringing people like yourself, you're welcome. It's such an honor, and I'm just like, when I met you, meeting you, and then something, you know, sitting around you, it's like, in Dragon Fest, where I met everyone, even finally in person, I actually interviewed a lot of people. What was amazing about this, because I've gone to, like, other convention stuff being there, and it's just like, it was a glow. I can't explain this. I cannot explain this, but it's something I felt. Just around there, It was just the energy, and getting to sit with you, I was like, oh my gosh, and, you know, speaking of pretty women, I don't know if you're able to talk about this person, but I think she was your girlfriend at the time, and I was like, oh my god, she's so beautiful, and look at them, look at this couple, and I was so excited, this is like history right there, and I believe your fiance, Kim, I was like, oh my god, she's so beautiful, and she's sitting there, she's smiling and stuff, and it's just like, can you talk about your, I think fiance, it's like, you know, how you guys work together, it's just like I'm seeing the energy at you too, and I'm like, wow, this is inspiration about positive couples. This is what we need to talk about, and I'd love to have both of you, or even interviewing Kim if she does interviews, I'm not sure, but if I could have you guys on the show in the future, but, you know, would you be able to talk about her?
Yeah, the future would be
because you guys are so positive. This is why I don't really talk about girlfriends and boyfriends, but if you can you tell me how you met her and how you guys work together and stuff? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's funny how's life work, you know, like how she became my student. So, it was way back when I finished high school, and my first job was a teacher assistant. And there, believe it or not, I was helping the teachers out. Oop, give me 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, I gotta open. Okay, well, back then I have to. Yes. So there's a. When a teacher does, California back then, I guess, due to budget or something like that, right? So they have a lot of students in the classroom. And then in the classroom, a certain group of students need to work on, I was helping the teachers then. So Kim was one of those students. She was 9 years old back then. Can you believe that? I taught her vocabularies, all of that, all the students there. So that was way. That's when I first met. And then later on, when we were 20, and then never met again. And then when I was 20, when I was, I was 30-something, and then she was 20, we ran each other again in Starbucks. And of course, she didn't remember me, but I remember her. I said, oh, man, gotta be that girl, you know? So I went to her, oh, behold, there was she. She said, yeah, how do you know? I said, oh, you remember this? She said, yeah, I remember. And then we started talking again. And then, we were talking about Kung Fu's movie, you know, like they're growing up. We used to watch like Kung Fu series. This is the Hong Kong TV. That's how it started. And we never see each other again until I had a school, and then she was looking for Wing Chun. She always wanted to learn Wing Chun. I think she studied praying mantis before or something like that for a few months. And then she wanted to learn Wing Chun, and there we go. We met each other. That was that. And it's a very, you can say that is a very respectable relationship, and there's, you know, a certain trust between it. It's not that. It's just there's a student and teacher, and also the martial art is guided, you know, us, you know. It's funny. It's how life works. You know, this reminds me of something when I was in Washington. If I share, if you don't mind, I can share a little bit about.
Yeah, sure. You have master, yeah, like 13 minutes. Yes, okay.
Master Bruce's wife, Linda Lee, believe it or not, it's so funny. When I first met her, one of Grandmaster Taki introduced me to her. Oh, you know what? She go, oh, Linda, let me hear. This is Clark. This is my friend. Came from California. You know, this is Van, da-da-da-da. And I go, oh, I met her. And I was like, of course, you know, you met her. It's like, wow. She, can you believe it? You read about her and all that, and now you met her. And most people in the martial art, believe it or not, they have no ego trip at all. It's just like, you know, they're just normal people. They're just like, you know, person that you talk to every day. And it's funny. She said, oh, Clark, do you do any martial art? I said, yeah, a little Wing Chun. And she go, oh, I know Wing Chun too. You know, I do Bong Sao, Lop Sao, Chi Sao Sao. And I go like this. I try to be smart mouth with that. Yeah, I know. Who was your teacher back then? And then, you know what? And she looked at me like a smirking look, and she started laughing so loud. I said, what a convenient dating your teacher, isn't it? That whole room, like, it's all laughing. So anyway, that was back then, you know. Yeah, it was crazy. It just You see, even though like you know, Master Bruce Lee and Linda Lee, their relationship is based on, you know, it's everything about evolve around the art, isn't it? I mean, it just it's amazing. It just to me, Marshall. You know, I'm a Christian also. Of course, I'm born Buddhism and Christian, and but I'm more a spiritual person. I don't really, you know, to me, it's all God is all about love, you know what I mean? Compassion toward other, love other. I mean, to me, that's the message from Christ. I don't think Jesus wants us to hate another person. That's not what his message is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and martial art is just amazing. To me, it's like religion. And people was telling me all the time, like, well, how can you say martial art is a religion? I said, yeah. How do you praise God to, like in a church, you sing, you read the Bible. Well, martial art, we do form. We sort of like do form, and we do kata, we do all of that. It's praying to God. It's your heart and the energies. It's right, you know. Instead of your mouth, you be using hand movement and leg movement, body movement. As to praising God. I mean, to me, it's pretty much the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it's just like, it's just this beautiful connection that I see, and it's like with what you're saying about not hating, and something too about Dragon Fest actually sitting around you guys. It was just like, and everybody's like, oh, hi, Shelly. Like, I want to get into films and do action films, and it's like, I haven't really done anything. I did a little bit of acting, but it was like, I think writing about what I truly love led me to meet everyone. And it was just, you know, it was a short time,
I hope I do get to meet you guys. I'm hoping to make it back out to Dragon Fest. And I don't know.
Right.
I know you said I was to invite. Like, I would like to see for myself at Wing Chun Temple, and I'm hoping to, like, interview everyone, like, not just on the radio, but hopefully interview people, like, with video. Do you know what I'm saying? I would love to do that. You know, it's just, it was such an honor sitting here with you and Kim and everyone at lunchtime at Dragon Fest. I'm just like, I felt like a little kid. You guys inspired me so much. You guys did something inside where I can't stop thinking about July 9th. It's just something, seeing everybody, it was just the energy, and it was like when I'm having bad days, I think of all you guys. It's like, oh, my God. And then Dragon Fest pops in my head, and I'm thinking, I sat with Clack and Kim, and then everyone out there. It was just the best time of my life. And to let you know how women, like, prepare for their wedding day? Dragon Fest was
right.
my wedding day. That was the best day of my whole life. I cannot even express, like, you guys don't realize how much you inspired me. And here I am talking with you again today, and I just, like, I hope that I do get to see everybody else, including yourself, and, you know, Kim, tell her I said hi. You know, give her a hug
right.
to me.
Sure,
so
sure,
sweet,
definitely.
You know, you know, when, you have about 8 minutes left, so I don't
definitely.
Know if it's something like, maybe like, here's something I usually ask people. When someone's going through a hard time in life, whether they're an artist, you know, actor, something, or anybody in general, when you go through a hard time and you think it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't handle this, what advice could you give someone to get through a hard time?
Well, I am a living proof. You know, now that I, in a martial art, before, I study martial art, and now I get involved in a lot of public. We have school, we get to know more people, expanding, and, of course, you know, like, meeting you and, you know, Facebook, making the world smaller now. We meet other people. I talk to, like, people that study martial art. They don't just study martial art. There's something special about them. And to me, it's like something happened to them in life. I mean, which is everybody, you know, that have, it's normal. It's part of life. I mean, and then they have to feel out something, you know that. So when the flow of life is interrupt, and people turn into a certain way, turn dark or turn light, and those people, like, for martial art, we happen to choose martial art. Like, for me, if you look at my life, it's not pretty normal. I mean, when I was 1 year old, I was adopted to live with my grandparents, and because of the Chinese superstition said I cannot live with my parents. And so as growing up, I feel weird. I feel I have all these questions in myself. And why are they have parents like parents? You know, kids, and why I'm growing up certain environment. And also I went through my childhood, went through the war, and I came to America. As just a lot of things happening. It's just, you know, it. I could have turned to a drug. I could have turned to become an asshole. I could have turned to, you know, become a gang or become a, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? To fulfill that voice, to fulfill that, something happened in my life. You know, that's something that I said, I would say, like, oh, you know, this is not normal in my life. I need to fulfill this, you know that. And I chose martial art. And martial art, it just fill all of that and even more, you know. I mean, when I start doing a form, usually, you know, if you see me around and you're like, I'm so relaxing. I mean, I don't even think about just relaxing. But when I do my form, I do it, you know, usually, you know, in the morning, I get up in the morning. You know, everybody usually sleep already. So I do the form, I do that. To me, it's just like connecting the universe and me. That moment is my time. Nothing else. You know, like, I usually don't talk about martial art unless they're, you know, people are, they are martial art too, or they're interested in the martial art. And before school, open, and it's just like a lot of my friends said, man, how come you didn't tell me you do martial art? And I said, well, yeah, I know, but you didn't ask me. And then they said, I feel something though, but I know there's something there. So to me, martial art is like religion. It's more personal level, you know, like that. And I think my goal is, you know, like before I die, like Wing Chun Temple, I wish it become, you know, some sort of the temple that everybody can come to. Like, remember, I share a little bit with you with a Facebook mm-hmm. post, right? You know, mm-hmm. Shaolin, I made this comparison. It's kind of a crazy idea, but it makes sense. Shaolin Temple is the Old Testament, but you know the Old Testament compared mm-hmm. to the Bible. And Wing Chun Temple is the New Testament. And it makes so sense because Shaolin, they are good what they do. They, you know, they are the traditional monk. And Wing Chun Temple, we're a modern monk. You know that? A monk inside our heartbeat, but it's everyday people. I mean, that was my thing is, you know, everyday people come in, you know, like find some way if they have a problem. I mean, some sort of like support group or some sort, you know, martial art. To me, martial art is just like it should be practiced. Everybody should be introduced. It's not about violence. It's not, you know, killing and all that. What they see in the film, it is part of martial art. You know, those violin, those kicking ass, Master Bruce Lee did and all that. You got to understand, he adapted to the filmography, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So martial art is everyday life. Like, for example, learning how to control yourself. Learning how the secret of the universe. Learning about the nature, you see that? And learning about how to respect other, you know, we learn about Confucius, and also learning about Buddhism, learning Taoism. So all those part is, it's just like learning. Now, Taoism almost like God, because Taoism is everywhere. Confucianism is almost like Christ, learning how to love one another, respect one another, having compassion toward another. And Buddhism is like spiritual, learning how to meditate. That means learning how to transport yourself anywhere. You open up that your mind, the window of that mind. Hmm. And that's what fear is all about. So
it's great. You know, I just wanted to thank you because now
sure.
It goes by fast on my show. Yeah. And it's like when people say, I don't know if I can do an hour. And I'm like, before you know it, it goes by so fast.
I can go on,
like,
and on and on and on and on. And on, you know?
Yes. No, I would love to have you back on the show again because I've had Douglas
definitely.
On my show so many times. And he's a little bit
oh,
busy
wow.
today. But he says, yeah, I'll come back on the show like after you. So, Clark, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was
definitely.
An honor to have met you out in California, and
definitely.
I look forward to speaking with you again.
Hey, Michelle, I just want to thank you to promote martial art, and I am inspired by you, how you inspire martial art. How's that?
Thank you so much, and if I can say this right,
thank you.
And thank you, Shishin.
Happy New Year.
And Gong Hei Fa Choi. Gong Hei Fa Choi and Shishin.
Pukaji. Shishini.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
What does
Have
that mean?
Have a good New Year.
Oh, bye-bye. Oh, you too. Gong Hei Fa Choi. All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. And my first guest, see, I told you. History right there in the making. So what I'm going to do is play Superman's Why, and I'll be back with the second guest.
the one of a winner. How you one of a winner, you what? How you one of a winner? How you one of a winner, you what? How you one of a winner? How you one of a winner, you what? How you one of a winner? How you one of a winner, you what? How you one of a winner? How you one of a winner, you what? How you one of a winner? How you one of a winner, you what?
It's one man rich and another man poor. Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rest so high? Why I tell you the truth, but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't wanna win it. How you wanna win it, yo? Why? How you wanna win it?
Why?
How you wanna win it, yo? Why? How you wanna win it?
Why?
How you wanna win it, yo? Why? How you wanna win it?
Why?
How you wanna win it, yo?
Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always got a question with all of the means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Why? The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why, and why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why, and why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these sad beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
Okay, and I'm back, and I'm ready for the second part of the Show and Untuck Show on Ninja Sunday. And we are blasting off in 2017. New Year's is actually a warm-up for Chinese New Year. Gong Hei Fa Choi and Shi Shi, thank you all for tuning in. Now for my second guest, with his busy schedule, I've had him on my show before. And there's just not enough time to hear this man's stories. Wonderful, you know, his ears might be ringing because my first guest, Clark Tank, was, you know, talking about a little history of my second guest coming on. And I actually had met my second guest, Douglas Wong, out in Dragonfest in California. And let me say, before I even bring him on, it was such an honor. And just to have him on my show, this is all history that I've been recording. And hopefully soon, I will have a brand new YouTube channel and take all the shows and put it on a YouTube channel with pictures and stuff. So I will be trying to upgrade within 2017. So let me look into the queue. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, come on. Is it letting me bring him on here? It's just a little bit slow. Give me one moment. I'm hoping that's going to bring him on. It's just very, very slow. So hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Michelle. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Oh, my gosh. How are you doing, Douglas Wong? Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah, just staying busy. That's all.
You're always such a busy man. And, you know, whatever time you can talk to me, it's such an honor to have you on my show. I know you're a busy man, so if you want to do, like, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever you have, this is just great to hear from you. And, you know, thank you so much.
No problem. So, yes, everything has been, it was a good 2016, and, you know, we're looking forward to 2017 for new adventures and see what it brings to us, you know, for sure.
Oh, gosh. And just to get caught up, I was like, you know, like, what has been going on you? Do you have any future projects and stuff? What's been going on with you?
I just worked with one of the stars coming out, Kaylee Spanning. She's going to be on the what's called the Pacific Rim 2 movie. So it's coming out in 2018. So I helped train some fighting techniques with her for the new movie. So she'll be co-starring with Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son. So that's coming out in 2018. They're filming out in New Zealand, I think, Australia, New Zealand area. So they started the film already. And I'm not sure if you got to go see the movie Doctor Strange. That was on the.
Not yet. Did you train someone on Neo or something?
Yeah, my son did some the stuff on. They have a section where they're working in the courtyard, and they're doing qigong and exercise and movements, and those are all from my system, the White Lotus system. So he taught them some of my forms and stuff like that. So that's on that movie there. So it's on for about a minute or so. That's a long time, you know. So. They show quite a few different movements and stuff like that. So he's working on that. And then he got, he's the special advisor for the new Circus LA, the new show coming up. So he's been going back and forth to Toronto, Canada, setting up the new show. So he's choreographing some of that. And, you know, I'm helping do certain things. Whenever he has certain people come down to the studio to train, I try to help him out with that. So there's a bunch of new stuff coming up.
Wow. So Travis has been a busy, busy boy.
Yeah, too busy. I'm always in and out, and he's getting ready to do Jungle Book 2. They're going to remake that when I started. He was in Jungle Book 1, so now he's in Jungle Book 2. Training of the Star, the kid playing Mowgli. You know, going through the trees and stuff like that. And so he's going to do that. And they're also going to do a new one called a Lion King. And that's going to be all motion capture. So he's going to be working on that also.
Oh.
So that's all
oh,
new projects
cool.
coming up. Yep.
Oh, wow. This is like he's busy, takes after his dad.
Well, he's more busy than I am, you know. I was trying to raise a family, you know. There was a little difference there when I had a full-time job besides doing the movies on the side and stuff like that. But he's into it full-time, so he's flying all over the world. He's also became spokesman for Red Bull again. He did it about 4 or 5 years ago, then they just rehired him again to start doing it. So he just came back from Greece and from Korea, and he hosted a bunch of shows for Red Bull. And getting ready maybe go to Japan, I believe he said, and he goes all over the United States also hosting Red Bull events. So he's doing that. So, yep, so it's kind of nice for him. He's traveling all over.
Oh, this is awesome. You know, just hearing all this stuff, Douglas, and, you know, once again, I thank you because it's like part of my show is capturing the history, you know, teachings and stuff from people that, you know, that are here that we want to celebrate because, like an example where everybody was just so persistent on social media about people passing away in 2016. I was like, well, can we talk about people that are actually here? You know, I'd rather be more inspired. It's like people are so obsessed when people pass away, and it's good to honor them. Where, you know, I've done that myself, but I was like, how about the people are here? Capture their history, and that's what I've been doing. And just to have you, you know, talking about yourself, it's an honor. And, you know, I don't know how much time you have, but can you, like, just as a recap of how you got into martial arts, inspiration, and, you know, how you got into films and stuff? I don't know how much time, but if you can, I don't know, maybe within 20 minutes or so, I think maybe that's probably as much time you probably do have.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I started martial arts young. My first start was judo, and I started around the age of 12 or so. So I've been in it, let me see, I'm 68 now, 56 years into the art. So that's mixing many different styles besides what I'm known for is the kung fu. But I started out in judo. And at that time, why I was into the kung fu was there was no kung fu around for us to take. So got into that in the Tensudo, Kempo, Kaji Kempo, Aikido, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu. You know, there's so many different arts during that time period. I was a martial arts nut. So, you know, I got in get involved in, and especially in Los Angeles, is the melting pots of martial arts. I got involved with so many different styles and so many different people and friends that I've known throughout the years. And I just got lucky on certain things, you know, training-wise. Then I got into the movie because of my kung fu, and that was 1971 when I started in the kung fu, the pilot film for Movie of the Week, ABC Movie of the Week. And so I was one of the guys who helped train David Carradine for his role in Kung Fu. So I met a couple of good friends there, Cam Yuan, who was later became David Carradine's permanent teacher, doing what's called Tai Mantis. So that's a combination of praying mantis and Tai Chi. And later on, David went and made a videotape, one on Kung Fu art and one on Tai Chi with the help of Cam Yuan. During that time period, you know, that's when I got involved with other people in the martial arts, like his name was Kim Kahana. He's the one that really got my SAG card. He was into the Shotokan art. And so we got all together and formed a group, what was called Instant Action Coordinators. So we did a group that we got into the movie. So we did stunts, we did choreographing, you know, everything for it. So that was myself. I was representing the kung fu art. Tadashi Yamashita, he represented the Japanese art. Kim Kahana, the founder of it, he was also in the Shotokan, which was in Japanese art. And we had Jake Flores, who was a jiu-jitsu man, and David Chow, who was the technical advisor of kung fu. So that's what we all sort of met. And so David actually was a judo man, was not a kung fu man. But when he got me onto the kung fu set, he asked me and Cam Yuan to help him train the different people and to show him all the different customs of kung fu. But he didn't know anything about kung fu. He was a judo man, like I said. But he had he could talk himself into anything. He was selling dirt on the ground. You'd be laughing doing it, but he could talk his way around. But like I said, it was just a judo man, not a kung fu man. So we became part of his techno advisor squad. So we helped him do that. And so there's many different movies that we worked on back in the old days. You know, but it was all was basically on the training of all the different styles that I went through. And I guess kung fu was actually one of the last styles that I learned. Besides all the other arts, which is a part of the Japanese culture, Okinawan culture, some Filipino culture, and then I finally got into the kung fu art, and that's what I, you know, that's my main flavor that I love. So through the kung fu, I met many people, I learned different things, I was more known internationally for my weaponry. So that's why a lot of the different movies, they always hire me to help them do weapons or different type of fighting style. And it was good for me to learn so many different styles, because like when I went to do Hercules and Xena, they didn't want martial art. It wasn't martial art. It was more an overall gladiator type fighting, but not quite exactly. They wanted a mixture of Western style with the old style. So that's why I came up with them. So that's why the fighting is not strictly martial art. That's why you don't see many of the martial art moves. You see a few of the kicks. A lot of the punching, the long arm striking and stuff like that is more traditional for that era when we were doing the movies. You know, other stuff like I worked on kung fu was just strictly kung fu, so you had to work within that art there. Other TV series, whatever they wanted Japanese art, I knew that. So since I said it before, I teach them different weapons, you know, into karate and stuff like this. So and then other movements, they won't have grappling where you threw the guy. So you got to pull my jiu-jitsu and my judo art from there. So my background with that. So learning all the different martial arts helped quite a bit in the movie industry. But nowadays, it's not just martial arts so per se, because they're looking for more skills now. So now the newest art is what's called popcorn free money. And this is all the stuff that Jackie Chan was doing when he's leaping from building to building, or climbing walls and scaling walls and, you know, going through windows and everything else. But this is what people have to learn now to get into the motion picture business now, because you can't just do it just strictly martial arts. That limits you. with the popcorn free running, you can do anything. You see, a lot of the guys, our guys worked on the James Bond movie, the different, I can't even think of names half of the stuff they do. But they're working on all different aspects, you know, using, because they want to see flips. It's not just flips that you just do on your own, but when they're throwing you, that you add a spin to it, a flare, so it brings out dynamic behind the movements now. So you can't just do a simple little fall or anything like that. Yeah, you got to put a little twist into it, you know, a couple of barrel rolls, they call it. So there's so much to learn. So that's why when we opened up the bigger studio, and we have now 10,000 square foot, got the full gymnastic floor there, we got all the equipment there, we teach the parkour, we teach the free running, teach extreme martial arts with all the competition they do on ESPN. And, you know, we have so many actors and stunt people coming to learn there. So, you know, every night we're open 7 days a week there. We got what's called open gym from 8:30 to 11 o'clock at night, and people just bring their groups in, or they rent the studio in the daytime. They're filming different projects there. So we're always working. So my son just did the American Model. I think that's the title. I can't remember. And Home and Garden Show, and he's done Baby's Mama, Baby's Daddy, or something like that. All these different TV shows. He's constantly just working, you know. And so every week he's doing something. And all of it is based on the parkour, free running, and the martial art all mixed together. But you got to have a well-rounded background nowadays. You know, people keep asking me, how do I get into the movie? How do I get hooked up? If you don't have the skill, you can't do it. You know, it's not like before, you know, 20, 30 years ago, just strictly martial arts, you can get into it. But now you got to have more. And then the type of martial art they're looking for, it's got to have the flair. You know, you can't do just simple techniques anymore. So it's a lot different. Anyway, I got off track.
Yeah.
I don't know where I got off track at, but I'm just talking.
No. This is great, because it's like, well, it's like, of course you kept me, like, I was like, I'm almost having a one-track mind. I was listening to what you said, and I wasn't going to bring them up, but because I post pictures of what you do and stuff like that, and it's like, this is a picture, which it was like, I'm excited about, and it's like, you've got the biggest smile. Like, I saw a picture, like, Eric Lee with this person. You guys all have this biggest smile. It's, like, really huge, and the energy's good. It's like, I see you guys over the picture with Jackie Chan. Now, how did you work with Jackie? Did you meet how? I was like, this is just like a big thing for me. And it's like, I have to, because how did you end up meeting Jackie? I see that picture and I post it all my time on my Facebook page. Did you meet him? Did you work with him? What happened with that picture?
No, that was when he first came over to the United States through his first movie. It was called, was originally called Battle Creek Brawl, but then they changed it to the Big Brawl. And when he first came over, he didn't speak any English at all. And during that time period, my brother started the magazine, Inside Kung Fu magazine. And so we had him come down for an interview. And so during that interview, that's why I met him and took the picture with him and so forth. And then he and my brother became best friends after that. And he was Jackie Chan's best man at his wedding. So they had. So that's how close we are.
Yes.
Yeah, and so he and Jackie had a restaurant in Hawaii. They ran for a couple of years, and when Jackie came for his Academy Award a couple of months ago, my brother was there at the main table with Stallone and Schwarzenegger, Chris Rock, I forget. There's just a bunch of people all there to help him celebrate when he got his Academy Award. So he was here in time, my brother, again. So, you know, they get together at least 4 or 5 times a year. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just wanted to say, Douglas, it's like, I know you had me on your show and stuff, and it's like, when I got to meet you and I told Clark this, I was like a little kid again, and it's like, I said, you know, like at Dragon Fest, everyone's there, it's like, you know how most women, their big day is they prepare for the wedding? Well, Dragon Fest was my wedding day, and when I met you, I was just like, it didn't feel like it was real, like even with Dawn the Dragon Wilson, it's like, I touch you, it's like, I'm trying to be respectful, I don't want to be a crazy fan, but I was like, that's you, Douglas, because we've talked so much, but it's like internet is more real than when you meet someone in person, so it's like, it's really you. It's like, not to sound dumb or anything, but when you were there, I was like, oh my gosh, and James Blue and everyone. It's like, so when I met you, I was like, "This, you're real?" You know, it was just amazing, and I know you're real and stuff, but meeting you in person, I was just like,
oh, wow, I felt like a little kid. It was just so amazing, and I want to say thank you so much for, you know, spending time on my show and everything. And I do have a question,
sure.
Because I do ask this, you know, one last thing. When someone's going through a very hard time, whether they're an actor or an artist or something like that, or just somebody in general, going through a hard time and thinking like, oh, my God, I can't make it and stuff, could you give someone some positive advice to help them, you know, sort through things or maybe new experience or something?
Well, the main thing is when they have problems, they got to look inside themselves or find some good friend that they can talk to get it off the chest. A lot of people will sometimes, they keep it inside themselves and sometimes try to solve their own problems. And sometimes you can't see your own problem. You got to have a different outlook or a different opinion. But that's why meditation is part of it. You know, when we meditate, we leave our body, we go out of our physical body into the spiritual body, where we can look back at our physical body and we can get a different perspective on our problem. So that's what meditation is, to help us solve our own problems if we have no one else that we can talk to. So a lot of the time, that's why I tell people, get into the martial arts, but find a good system that teaches the meditation when you can learn from it. You know, we can look at yourself or take yoga, different classes that have their own meditation system. Because all meditations are different, but yet they are linked together. They are to help you experience life and to help you solve things on, you know, on this physical plane. But if you find a friend sometime, you can talk to, you know, they can help you. Because a lot of times the people that you talk to, older, they have more experience, they've been through what you've gone. They look at it and say, oh, that's a small problem, that's nothing, I work myself through that too. This is what you can do. So for me, I always have people come ask me the same things. I sit and I give them advice. I listen to their story. I give them a different solution, how to do it themselves, if they can do it. If not, then I'll try to help them out. But, you know, there's so many different ways. You got to find somebody that you can trust, that you can talk to, or getting into a meditative stage where you can concentrate on yourself during that time period. But those are the best two things that I tell people to do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, your words of wisdom. And I know you you have a very busy schedule, so thank you. I'm going to try to say two things in Chinese. Thank you, Shisha. And it's, you know, Happy New Year in Chinese. Gong hei fa choy.
Don't be fat to you too. Yes, I'll come back on your show again soon. So, you know, just keep your show going strong. That's the main thing. You know, keep looking forward. 2017 is going to be a great year. And,
thank you.
Yeah, if you come out to Dragon Fest, we'll see you again because I'm there every year. I've been there since the first one. You know, that's way back when Jiro Okamura used to have it, you know, so he did the first 9 years of it. And I was at every one of them, Michael Masuda's handling it, so I've been there helping him with that also. So, yeah, it's a good get-together. We get to see all our friends and martial arts families and different groups and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. So, you know, definitely make it out this year now. It's not next year. It's this year. We'll see you up. Yep.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. And thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day, Douglas.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, that was a little bit short of time with Douglas, but he was very, very busy, and I just, usually I do read the promos once again. I just wanted to go over, and just very thankful that people take their time out to be on my show, and, you know, Dragon Fest is such a beautiful, beautiful kung fu kind of day, and it's like, you know, you're just surrounded by ninjas, and it's really great, and the energy is, like, really, really awesome. And just to talk a little bit about, you know, going over the promos here, just trying to bring this up. Once again, talking about Standing Rock and going over the page, there are lawyers needed for Standing Rock. And just bring up the page again, because I try to post the link so I can read them right from my Facebook page. Lawyers for Standing Rock, water protectors who have been arrested in North Dakota for their activist opposition to the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
through ancestral Sioux lands are pleading for more help because there aren't enough attorneys to take their cases and trials that begin next week. So they are looking, you know, reading here, it says the Morton County Sheriff's Department with 264 people have no lawyers at all. And the 265 people who have been assigned public defense attorneys aren't receiving adequate counsel. In order to fix the problem, advocates from North Dakota and Minnesota are now trying to convince the North Dakota Supreme Court to give the green light to lawyers from other states who have no license to practice in North Dakota to come in and help. A group of 10 legal organizations, including the American Civil Liberties Union and lawyers from both states, filed an official petition to the court on Wednesday. There have been mass arrests of DAPL protesters since August when thousands of protesters, they shouldn't be called protesters, they're water protectors, set up camp on the Standing Rock Reservation. There are water protectors who call themselves, which of course, water protectors, militarized policing by the Morton County Sheriff's Department over the past few months. More than 550 people were detained for trumped up misdemeanor charges, including disorderly conduct, inciting a riot and trespassing, a felony charge for reckless endangerment and conspiracy charges. North Dakota State's Attorney Ladd Erickson filed a motion against out-of-state lawyers who consulting, he claims, are burning the state's legal system. He claims the strategy is to drain state's resources and that the water protectors should be forced to foot the bill for the arrests and subsequent court appearances. So if you want to help out lawyers and such, say water protectors, they do need counsel and lawyers if you can get out there to help them. Daily Bread Bakery. Make sure if you're ever in Maine to stop at Daily Bread Bakery. I'm losing my voice here. It's a low sodium bakery and tea shop on 131 off the beach trail, West Standish, Maine. www.ofdailybread.com. I have so much num nums from that bakery. I cannot get enough. It's low sodium, you know, very low gluten and stuff like that. If you want to check it out, go to Daily Bread Bakery's Facebook page if you're ever in Standish, Maine, around that area. And also to bring up for my extended family, this is the Sarah Joy Foundation. The Sarah Joy Foundation is a way of honoring Sarah Joy, who passed away from cancer at 32 years of age, leaving behind two small boys and her husband, Eric. Through this foundation, our vision is to create a way to help families and cancer patients enjoy their life as much as they can. Sarah, last year, did more travel and activities than most people do in a lifetime. She went jet skiing, parasailing, hiking, golfing, saw every beach on the East Coast. The list goes on and on. She did all this while being told she was too sick to even get out of bed. Too many families make their lives a hospital bed in four walls because of this illness, and that for Sarah was never an option. To raise the money, we'd like to offer other families the same joy that Sarah and we had before she passed. It is amazing what a day at the spa could do or a roller coaster ride with your kids. Having cancer does not mean death, and people shouldn't mourn someone while they are alive. Enjoy life. Love the summer breeze, the winter snow, the leaves in the fall, the flowers in spring. We'll be organizing fundraisers of all kinds, shapes, and sizes. Now, I did not meet Sarah personally, but they are part of my extended family's members. And what had happened is Sarah became sick but didn't want to receive treatment because she didn't want to hurt her unborn son. Her son was born, but the cancer was so progressive that Sarah had lost her life due to the cancer. So if anybody can check out the Sarah Joy Foundation, please do. Any donation will be greatly appreciated. I will also be setting up on the Bruce Lee Foundation. Once again, I am coming on board to raise money for future generations. So this is something, of course, you know who Bruce Lee is and his family has set this up, once again, to help out future generations. So this is a little bit short of a show today because my second guest, he is very busy, and I know it's New Year's Day, so I just want to end it right now. And I'm so happy, so thankful for all my past guests. Once again, I will be doing a new YouTube, taking all of my past shows and taking them and putting them on YouTube. So everybody, once again, Happy New Year. Relaunched the Blog Talk Radio station today with a Ninja Sunday. And I look forward to the following year. Remember, you know, impossibilities, you can make them happen. I'm living proof that no matter what you go through in life, you can make things happen. Even when things aren't given to you, you just got to work and you can make it happen. So anyway, I just want to say thank you. Chinese New Year's coming up, the happiest day of the whole entire year for me. Gong Hei Fa Choi. Anyway, this is Shelly Nunchucks. Thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your Ninja Sunday.
the one of the world night. Are you one of the world night? Yo, what? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, what? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, what? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, what? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, what? Are you one of the world night?
I don't want no one, no, why is one man rich and another man poor? Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rest so high? Why I tell you the truth, but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians, and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no word, no. Are you one of the world night? Yo, why? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, why? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo, why? Are you one of the world night? Are you one of the world night? Yo,
why? Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always got a question with all of the means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Why? The night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why, and why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why, and why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats, and teachers don't make more than professional athletes? And why?
I don't want no one, no, yo, what? I don't want no one, no, yo, what?